Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Syrian refugees have started arriving in their new home, Canada. In Nova Scotia, the provincial government is prepared to accept 1,500 men, women, and children, both government-assisted and privately sponsored. Of the privately sponsored group, 50 are expected to arrive before the end of December. Across the province, at least 100 private sponsorship groups have been organized by citizens. Nabia Atala is manager of communications and outreach for the Immigrant Services Association of Nova Scotia, or ISANS. Welcome to Encore.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, it appears Maritimers in general have gone to great lengths to prepare for these refugees who are arriving with nothing in most cases. Considering their many needs, from a place to live, help with the language, utility bills, clothing, finding work, what assistance has been the most difficult to acquire so far?
Well, so far, quite frankly, we have a lot of difficulty with the lack of information. We don't know exactly when people are arriving to Nova Scotia. We don't know in what numbers they will arrive at one time. And so while we are working on many fronts to prepare for them, we have to have various scenarios ready because we don't have these details yet.
But of the things that you know you will have to have available when they do arrive, what things are sort of more difficult to nail down than others?
In general, the housing is more difficult to nail down because refugees have to survive on social assistance levels, which, as most Nova Scotians know, are very low. They're low for everybody. And so to find appropriate housing, and often refugee families are larger families, so to find apartments that can take maybe 6 or 7 people, that's a big challenge.
Because over time, I guess, many of the accommodations in the Maritimes have been geared more for smaller families.
Yes, definitely.
Now, in the case of private sponsorship groups, how long is their commitment to look after the refugees?
Their official commitment is 1 year. During that 1 year, they're responsible for the financial support of the family, as well as their initial settlement, getting them oriented to the community, helping them register their kids in school, helping them access various services and settle into their homes. Often the relationship continues beyond that 1 year because of the friendships that are formed during that initial time.
What about the matter of language? I mean, how many Arabic speakers are getting engaged with these various groups?
We have an amazing number of Arabic-speaking volunteers who've stepped up because, as you may know, Arabic is the second or third language in Nova Scotia after English and French. So we have a large number of volunteers, and we feel very happy about that score.
Now, in Nova Scotia, the government is prepared to accept 1,500 refugees. If I were a refugee arriving tonight, what assistance could I hope to get from the various levels of government, and for how long?
Well, if you're arriving as a government-assisted refugee, the federal government is responsible for your financial support for the first year, again, on social assistance levels. As well as that, the federal government contracts with organizations across Canada to provide initial settlement for refugees. In Nova Scotia, ISANS is the organization that has that contract, and we're responsible for meeting refugees at the airport, helping them settle into temporary accommodation, helping them find permanent accommodation, and then providing them with a quite specific list of orientation topics for their first 2 months in Canada. We continue to support them under this special program called the Resettlement Assistance Program with information and support for 1 year. But beyond that, and starting from the beginning, all refugees arrive as permanent residents, and they're eligible for all settlement services, so they would be able to access government-sponsored language training, employment counseling, and depending on their particular situation, other services through organizations such as ISANS.
And what's expected of the refugees once they've landed and, say, settled into a home?
Well, really, what's expected of any of us as residents and members of this community, that they would become more and more independent. That's something that we hope and we try to make clear from the beginning, that they would become more and more familiar with what it is involved in living here and participate in the society.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. My guest on this week's edition of Encore is Nabia Atala, Manager of Communications and Outreach for the Immigrant Services Association of Nova Scotia. Nabia, we've heard a lot about screening applicants for refugee status, both in the camps and in Canada. Can you tell us some of the things that the screening consists of?
Yes, the security screening is a multi-layered process. So the refugees would have been identified by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. They would have had their identity confirmed and their claim to be refugees confirmed by the UNHCR before they're referred to the Canadian government. Once they are referred to the Canadian government, the experienced visa officers who are on the ground for Canada would do a security and immigration interview. They would identify and verify all the documents, and they collect biometric data and biographic data. There is a health screening, and then just before departure, there is a second confirmation of identity and a verification once they arrive again of who they are, of their documents and their stories.
Now, what about medical issues? What medical issues would prohibit an individual refugee or a family from coming here?
We're not sure about that. The federal government does not release those details. We do know that of the two plane loads that have arrived so far, there have been no medical issues. There was preparation in case people had some medical issues that needed to be dealt with when they arrived, but that first two groups did not have any.
Now, I guess the other dimension is the possible effects of having been uprooted from your home, perhaps living in a refugee camp for a couple of years, the psychological scars of that experience. What about dealing with some of those, especially when you're thrown into an entirely new and alien environment?
Yes, there are a lot of challenges, and we know that refugees are very resilient people. They've already been through very difficult situations since they left their original homes. At the same time, we are making connections here on the ground in Nova Scotia, for example, with mental health providers and counselors. We need to be aware of the challenges that you've just mentioned and to give people time to adjust. So we do have support, psychological support, available if needed.
Now, with conventional immigration streams, very often, you know, we've heard that there are particular streams for people with certain trade skills or executive skills. But what are the avenues that Nova Scotia has set out through which immigrants can come to the province?
Nova Scotia has a number of streams. They are targeted to international students, temporary foreign workers, and skilled workers in general. So the streams that Nova Scotia has designed are also tied to our economic situation. And there's some flexibility built in there for the province to identify the areas in which we need people, the certain skill areas that we need locally. So in all of those situations, the applicants are assessed according to the criteria that the provincial government has established, and then they go through the security and health checks of the federal government, as all immigrants do.
Now, these are refugees, not people coming through the conventional immigration streams.
Correct.
Has there been any kind of inventory of their skills, their interests that might help connect them with various businesses or job opportunities?
Not yet, but that's certainly part of the role of the settlement agency. One of the first things we do is an in-depth needs assessment, because We do expect that people will come with a wide range of backgrounds and abilities and experiences. We know their language may be a beginner level or it may be quite advanced, and we know their work skills could be anything from general labor to professional. So that's part of the early needs assessment that we do, and then we can refer people based on their situation to work sooner or later. We do encourage all newly arrived immigrants, whether they come through refugee streams or not, to work on language first of all. But if they're already very comfortable in English or French, then they can start looking at their employment opportunities.
Now, as we've mentioned, there are all kinds of groups around the province and across Canada that are sponsoring refugee families. Now, beyond that, people who aren't directly involved in those groups and the fundraising that goes along with it, what about something like opportunities for volunteering to help with English or French language training?
There are many opportunities to help. Language training occurs in many different forms. So there are the government-sponsored courses, which I mentioned beforehand, which are taught by experienced English as an additional language or French as an additional language instructors. As well, there are many community sites where there are volunteers who do conversation groups. In Nova Scotia, in Halifax, for example, the libraries have regular conversation groups for people to expand their language skills. There are faith groups that have language programs as well. So there are all sorts of opportunities, both in helping with language, but in this situation, many other opportunities for volunteering.
Ms. Atala, a recent survey on CTV indicated that 51% of Nova Scotians would rather not accept refugees. Given what you do with ISANS, how do you react to a poll or a statistic like that?
Well, I think that there are a lot of misunderstandings about refugees out in the general public, and I think that on the whole, what we're seeing is a lot of support, a lot of generosity, but some concerns expressed as well, and it's important for people to understand that refugees are really, as a whole, research has shown that they are people who are very resilient. They are people who really want to get to work quickly and to contribute. Most refugees, we have a challenge here trying to encourage people to stay in language training for a full year because they don't like being supported by the government. They want to get out there and work. So I think it's important for people to learn more about refugees, to understand that in past waves of refugee arrivals, people have settled and contributed a lot to this country. And locally, we have stories of refugees who are now very well settled and working in a great variety of fields, in Nova Scotia, for example, but in every province, I would think.
Ms. Atala, thank you very much for speaking with us on Encore.
It's my pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Nabia Atala, Manager of Communications and Outreach for the Immigrant Services Association of Nova Scotia, about the Syrian refugees coming to the Maritimes. You've been listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. Each week at this time, BoomersWork.com brings you Encore. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring topics of special interest to the growing number of Canadians aged 50 and over. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great day.